went ahead and prepared something anyway, so I'm grateful for that, because the world did not end. Do you ever feel distracted? Are there times in life that you know you're distracted? You know that you're not as focused as you need to be? It may be on something physical, maybe a project at work or family life. You're not as present as you need to be. Probably specifically when we think about spiritually, there's times that we aren't as focused as we should be. And we know that being focused is important because when we aren't focused, we aren't living the right kind of life. You know, that's typically when we begin to make mistakes and we slip and we go down paths we're not supposed to when we're not as focused. But fortunately, though, throughout the Bible in many places, God has given us scriptures that allow us to refocus and allow us to, in some ways, give ourselves a checkup, a spiritual checkup. You know, we do that in our physical bodies. You know, most of us probably go to the doctor once a year or so for a checkup. Mine was a little over a week ago, and it actually been a couple of years. So Betsy said I finally had to go, but they took all my blood and did all that. And overall, I'm pretty good health, so I got that checked out for another year or so. But we do that with our physical bodies, and we give us go have a checkup. And so we need to do that with our spiritual bodies as well. Hopefully more often than once or once a year or so. So today what I want to do is I want to review a set of scriptures that I think give us all a good chance to refocus or to analyze, well, where are we right now spiritually? You know, what kind of things, where am I good at, where do I need to improve on? So let's go to 2 Peter. We're only going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1 today. And we're going to look closely at verses 1 through 11. In 2 Peter. And it'll kind of split into three sections as we go here. But I want to look at this closely because it'll give us a chance again to kind of analyze where are we in regards to where God wants us to be in our spiritual life. So let's go ahead and begin again, 2 Peter, and we'll be in chapter 1 today. So let's start in verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we see here just in this first four verses in the introduction, what Peter's really saying is, through God's Holy Spirit, God has given us everything that we need to live a life pleasing to him. He's nothing secret. You know, God is very clear in the Bible about what he expects, what's right, what's wrong. And Peter says here, through God's Holy Spirit, he's given us this knowledge, and he's given us the information that we need to make the right choices, to live the right kind of life. The problem is, sometimes we refuse to take that information from God. We refuse to take the help that God wants to give us. And many times in our life, we decide, well, no, we know best. And so we begin making decisions and doing things without using God's Holy Spirit in our life. And that's when we get in trouble. But God has given us everything that we need. And as we see here in verse 3 and 4, we see that really God has promised us victory over this world. You know, if we will follow his commands and if we will follow his Holy Spirit as it guides and directs us, then we will have victory over this world. And that we will begin to live more like him. And that divine nature that God has, he wants us to have. Again, as we're given his Holy Spirit, we begin to have a little bit of God's nature, and he wants us to work it and grow it and become more like him. So how do we know, though, if we actually have God's nature working in us? How do we know if we're following what God wants us to? Well, let's continue in verse 5, and we'll see here in the next few verses a list of some of the attributes of God's nature that he wants us to have in our life. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. We'll start with faith. Faith is the foundation of everything. If we don't have faith, then there's really nothing else that really matters. We have to have faith in that God exists, that His Son came to die for us, that there is a kingdom and that there is a bigger plan. I mean, we have to believe that, or there's really no point in any of these other things of us doing them in our life. Faith is the foundation, and without faith, we can't build on that. So we have to have the basic faith. You know, the Amplified Version says we should be exercising our faith. Again, helping it grow, using it, focusing on it every day, that we do have faith, and we believe that God has a plan, and that because of that, we want to emulate Him, and we want to walk in Jesus Christ's footsteps. But it says, add to your faith virtue. So let's, here in the next few verses, let's look at all these attributes that God wants us to have a little closer. Virtue is the first thing we're supposed to add. Virtue means excellence or anything praiseworthy. Good News Translation translates it goodness. And the Amplified says that it actually says develop moral excellence. So we're to have moral excellence. You can think of Matthew 5:48, where it says, be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's what God wants. God wants us striving for perfection. Obviously, we're human, and we won't achieve that in this life, but that is supposed to be our goal. That is what we're supposed to be looking at, is moral excellence. And again, all these things in every aspect of our life, you know, we're to strive for making the right moral decision, being virtuous in our decisions. It says, adding to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. So we are to have knowledge. We are to have, the Amplified says, insight or understanding. But the word actually means more than that. It's not just general knowledge. It's actually godly knowledge. That's the knowledge that God wants us to have. That's what this word is meaning. There's lots of knowledge in the world. There's lots of worldly knowledge that you can have. Not all of it's bad. I mean, being educated and going to college and doing those things, that's fine. So there's lots of worldly knowledge out there, but that's not the knowledge we're supposed to strive for. We're supposed to strive for godly knowledge so that whenever we're in situations and we have decisions to make, that we fall back on godly knowledge, not what the world has to offer, not what the world thinks, but what does God actually say? So we're to have that. That is a characteristic of God's divine nature, is His knowledge. Continuing, to knowledge adds self-control. Self-control, and this is, in my opinion, and maybe for others it's not as hard, but self-control, it's hard. You know, it's two words, but it's extremely difficult. And it's mentioned throughout, you know, different areas in the Bible. Think of, different areas where the fruits of the Spirit and where self-control is always in that list. Self-control is something that obviously God shows. Jesus Christ showed extreme self-control when He was arrested before being killed, and He was, you know, being challenged, and, you know, it'd be very easy to, from my perspective, I would have, you know, said, I'll prove I'm the Son of God. But Jesus showed extreme self-control. We're supposed to show self-control, you know, in all areas of our life. And so, again, that's very hard, but that's part of God's nature. Do we show self-control with how we, you know, treat our spouses, our families, our children, maybe our employees, wherever it is? Or do we show self-control? Are we in control? Are we making the right decisions? To self-control, add perseverance. Perseverance can also be translated patience. The Good News translates it endurance. But what's interesting about this is it's not just patience for the sake of patience or persevering. We can do that, but this word actually has a positive connotation. The word really means also cheerful and hopeful endurance, or endurance with a positive attitude. That's a lot different than sometimes how we're patient. You know, we're patient, but we don't like it, and we make sure everybody knows that we don't like it, you know, while we're waiting. It's different. This is a godly, positive attitude, that I'm going to be cheerful and in a good spirits whenever I'm going through, you know, fill in the blank trial or whatever you're going through. Because honestly, we know we're going to have ups and downs in our life. We're going to have ups and downs in our life, but we want to, again, follow in Christ's example. We know we have to fight to the end, but we have to have the right attitude behind that. If we're really having godly nature, then we're going to have a positive attitude about the circumstances we're in. So we're supposed to have a positive attitude. To perseverance, add godliness. Godliness is really just holiness, anything being devout. And when you look at it, it's really walking in Christ's example. If we want to take just, you know, how do we interpret godliness? You know, it's literally that, what would Jesus do? Jesus lived a perfect life, right? Everything he did was in complete agreement with what God wanted and what God expected. And so, again, as we're making our decisions, as we're going through different aspects of life, you know, it's important for us to think, you know, what would? Again, it was kind of you don't hear, you know, what would Jesus do? You know, that was a big, about 10 or so, 15 years ago in the bracelets and all that. But it was really a good message, and it's right. We should be thinking in these situations when you're making decisions, and what would God want me to do? What would Jesus do? You know, how did he handle this whenever he was here? So we're to follow that. Again, that would be part of God's nature. To godliness, we add brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, this comes from the word Philadelphia, which we're all very familiar with. It's the love of the brethren. It's taking care of each other. It's genuinely being concerned for each other's well-being. So as a group, as a group of God's people, we should be genuinely concerned and interested in other people's lives. And truly, when somebody's hurting or going through something, that we should truly be sorry for them and truly, you know, want to see if we can help in some way. Much different than the relationship you might have with coworkers or your neighbors, or, you know, you hear bad news and you're like, oh, you know, I'm sorry about that. But then you kind of just go on. We must have a different attitude, an attitude that we genuinely care, genuinely concerned. And, you know, we can do that obviously by being good listeners and helping where we can. But that's what God expects. He expects us to take care of each other. And then to brotherly kindness, we are to add love. And love, this comes from agape. And this is godly affection, godly love. And it's more than brotherly kindness. They work obviously in tandem, but the agape love is taking the next step. Because it's a deep godly love for others. Amplified version actually says, learn to unselfishly seek the best for others. Do things for others' benefit. You know, that's different. You know, we are to, where we can, we are to help and get out of our own comfort zone and get out of our own, you know, kind of selfish world that we live in sometimes and see where can we help others. Again, just as God showed us that love whenever he sent Jesus to die for us, just as Jesus showed us that love when he physically died for us. That is the love that God wants us to show. That's having his divine nature working in us. So this is, you know, again, a very difficult list whenever you look at it closely as to what God is asking. But, you know, why are these things important? Or, in other words, what's the benefit to us of having these things and doing these things? Well, let's continue in verse 8. It says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was forgiven from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." The reason these are so important is because these are our keys to victory. If you watch, you know, football game, basketball game, before the game starts, they'll usually have both teams, you know, listed, and they'll have the keys to victory. That, you know, if a team A wants to win, they need to do these things. If team B wants to win, they need to do these things. Well, this is the keys to victory that God has given us. He says, if you want to be in my kingdom, if you want to live with me forever and be part of my family, do these things. And you won't stumble. You will enter into my kingdom. You will be guaranteed. The scary part of this is the flip side then. Because if we don't do these things, if these things aren't in our life, then the opposite will be true. The opposite will be true, and we have to take these things very seriously. And truly look at ourselves and say, okay, what things do I need to work on? You know, am I using God's Holy Spirit to grow these things in my life? So in conclusion then, throughout the Scriptures, throughout the Bible, God gives us plenty of reminders and advice on how we need to be living our lives. Here in 2 Peter, this is just one example of these areas. And again, just as we routinely give our physical bodies examination and we take care of our physical bodies, we need to be doing the exact same thing with our spiritual bodies. We need to make sure that we are living our lives in accordance to God's plan and accordance to his wishes. And again, while this is not always the easiest option, I think we would all agree that the benefits far outweigh the struggles.